In the real world as well, as well as worrying about significant new variants of COVID-19 this weekend, I think a lot of people are shopping online frantically. And I know all right-thinking people are supposed to be against Black Friday, but then bargains are so tempting. So to get us a little bit of help with this, I'm joined on the line now by Rosie Coffey, who's Head of Enterprise Architecture and Security in the University of Limerick. And Rosie is going to talk to us about shopping safely online and also about protecting our data. So, Rosie, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, just on the broad, dumb, big question. So we routinely now go online all the time. We give our name, address, our phone number, credit card number. You even give the little three numbers on the back of your credit card and send it off into the ether. And most of the time you just think, well, look, everyone's doing this. It must be fine. And then now and again you go, hang on a minute, should I be doing this? And is it paranoid to worry about giving all that out willy-nilly on the internet?
No, it's not paranoid. It's advisable. We should be really careful with sharing all that types of data. Like it's like leaving the keys of your house outside to let anybody come in as they wish. You wouldn't do that. So you should be just as vigilant protecting your digital identity as you would your physical belongings. So it you really do need to be careful, and you do need to know the indicators to look out for in the digital world, where there's lots and lots and lots of scams, and particularly this time of year with Black Friday and coming up to Christmas with lots of deliveries and lots of online shopping.
Yeah, okay. So in terms of online shopping, I mean, obviously, I suppose the basic thing is stick with the websites and the brands you know, but what can we do to protect ourselves?
So the most important thing with online shopping and protecting your identity, there's probably some basic measures that you can do in terms of protecting your accounts. So if you ever do get compromised, that the fraudsters can't actually use what they get in any other way. And the measures that you can do for this are around two-factor authentication and using a password manager. So I'll just explain what these are. So two-factor authentication is basically how you can protect your account by setting up a either SMS text or an authenticator app to ask for a second login code when you're using that particular service, whether it's a banking service, you know, PayPal, Revolut, or any of your AIB and Bank of Ireland services. Or also, indeed, I'd advise this for any of the social media apps, because it's very easy for them to get hijacked. And probably what a lot of people are doing is you're storing your banking details across lots of sites.
Yes.
So when some of these other maybe seemingly innocuous sites get compromised, potentially, it may actually give access to fraudsters access to financial data that you may inadvertently have purchased something via Facebook or via Instagram because you were influenced and you stored your details there. So it's just really important to also set up two-factor authentication for your social media apps. And this
At the moment seems to, I wouldn't know how to set up this, but my bank at the moment seems to get me to go into the app to approve any transaction.
Yeah, so the banks are calling this strong customer authentication, and from what I can see, most of the banks now have this mandated and they force you to do it. And either like that, they'll ask you to go into the app, or they might also give you an option to send an SMS, or they might also give you an option to use an authenticator app. But I'm also, I suppose, they're forcing you to do this, but also for you to do this on your own accounts that you have data in, so your Facebook, your social media, and it's not difficult to do. If you have the you just need to go into the settings of these individual accounts, your Twitters, your Instagrams, your Facebooks, and go into security, and they will have an option there for second factor authentication and enable that, and it'll talk you through the process, and they'll say, do you want to use an authenticator app, which you can download, and you can register everything in all your services into an authenticator app, or you can simply use SMS. Now, what this obviously then means is that you do need to have your phone available when you're going to use that service. Now, for the social media apps, there's very little friction with this. They don't prompt you every time. It'll only be if you ever change device. So that's obviously, so you set it up and you forget about it unless you change your phone. But what this means then is that you're protected if
someone does it from another phone.
And you've been phished in an account and you've given away your login details inadvertently and you don't even realise it because there's nothing to tell you that you've done that, but somebody attempts to log into it, they won't be able to, that will then trigger an alert to your phone and you need to authorise that, and that would be a red flag.
Okay. When you mentioned the phishing there, I think a lot of us tend to think of, like, I don't know, Russian hackers kind of hacking in on supercomputers into stuff and getting our details. I presume most of us just give them away, do we, unwittingly, by clicking on the wrong thing?
Yeah, so that's, I suppose, the other side. If we get away from just general basic awareness, which is really, really important. So how to spot scams and identify scams. And there's this concept of phishing, which is generally a fraudulent email, or there's concept of smishing, which is a fraudulent text message, which we're all getting now around deliveries on post, DPD. And then there's this concept of vishing, which is over email, over phones. So where people are ringing you and, you know, like the social welfare frauds that we were getting earlier in the year. And they all have the same, they're using different communication channels to try and get us to give them information. And then they will go off and use that information to try and either further extort us in a different way. So they have a little bit of information. They don't have our bank details yet, but then they'll actually ring us and say, oh, there's a problem with your bank. We're going to send you an email. So they know your phone number, they know your email address. So they're building up, you know, more of a profile of you and more data about your identity, which is, you know, into identity theft. And so they're trying to... there's this concept in the scamming underworld of fulls, which is a full complete set of personal data about an individual. So if they have your name, your address, your phone number, your date of birth, and your email, that's a big set of data that they can, and your date of birth, right, they can apply for identity cards. They can do a lot of damage with all that set of data, and it's a very valuable set of data. So awareness around these scams is really important, and usually these scams also have an element of urgency in them, and okay. They add something in there to make you a bit stressed, like your card is going to expire, or you're not going to get these deliveries unless you contact us in the next 24 hours. So the advice here is don't rush. Check independently with that service, not from the link that you've received, but independently from that service. Most, like Onpost, will have a policy. You know, we do get custom charges. I myself got a text message from Onpost saying I needed to pay a custom charge. And I was expecting a delivery, and most will not actually, and Onpost have lots of information on their website saying we won't send you a text message for you to complete details. We'll send you a text message, then the following day you'll receive a card, then you will need to log on to this URL, and then you will need to sort of define payment channels. So most of these services have advice around this, and really good, clear, easy to understand advice. So
what I'm hearing there, Rosie, is never click on the link. Basically go into the website and type it in, like, all right, look, that's all really helpful. Rosie Coffey from UL, thanks a million for that. Let's take a break.